I'm Reggie.
And I'm Brian.
And this is R&B Talks.
R&B Talks.
Yeah,
baby.
Coming at you with the smooth vibes.
Coming at you with the deep, deep, smooth R&B sound. No, we're not. No. Mm-mm. No. Sorry. That sucked. All right, well, anyway.
It's done.
Reggie, as always, how was your week?
Delightful.
It wasn't convincing at all.
Same old, same old. Like, as usual, dude. There's really nothing to note. I mean, you know, just
party time.
I'm just doing my thing.
Just doing your thing. Well, you know, today was one of the, or this week was one of those weeks where you felt like you had nine arms and legs because all these different people were tugging you in different directions.
Well, you know, for me, like, I've just, this is the time of year where my activity level, like, increases, like, tenfold. So, like, I'm just bouncing around everywhere anyway. Like, I'm trying to take advantage of the weather where it is, right? So, just.
Before it gets too hot.
It's just, I'm just tearing at it, dude. So for me, it's just, that's just, this is it.
Okay. So I have a suggestion going along with your new course of 30 minutes of action daily. You said you ran out of trees and then you ran out of rocks. We should start our own version of the Highland Games.
Well, I ran out of trees. Then I did my rock thing, leveled all that out. Then I cut down a tree. So now I'm cleaning the tree up.
Yeah.
So it's good.
You don't want to do my Highland game of chicken tossing?
No, I don't want to toss chickens, dude.
Dude, I'm telling you, we could create an entirely new genre of outdoor games. Call it the Southern Indiana Lowlander Games.
I'm sure we could.
Tractor tilting, you know, chicken tossing. Oh,
I don't know if everybody's noticed yet. This is a different environment.
I know. We've upgraded.
Well, this is so. It's not the end goal here.
Yeah.
But this is to kind of have more room where I hit my head on those light stands probably 12 times last week.
Yeah. It happens constantly. You have to like duck under them. Oh yeah. Cause
I mean, it's just my office ain't that big, but man, it was just like, I know I have like three different bruises on the top of my head from just whacking.
That's rough. Cause you don't have any hair up there. No, so it's gotta be a direct hit.
So, this is just a way to get it off there. And it was like, I found these at the secondhand store and it was like, all right, well, that'll work. And hastily put this up. And I tried to put the stuff on the wall.
Yeah.
That we had. There is some things that we have on the wall, but like because of the, we take up most, it just doesn't, that you like cut off everything. So it doesn't.
That's okay.
Until we get to a place where we can have some depth in the back, it's just not going to work out that way. Now, what I do want to do though is I may paint this green chroma key green, and then just be able to have like a digital background we put in post production. You know,
those are a lot of fancy words, Reggie, that I don't exactly know. I know.
Just a green screen that green, but you can
like
paint
a painted
wall.
Green screen.
You can paint that'd your wall cool. with that green, and you can use it as a.
We
green
could
screen.
Broadcast from any country in the world. We could be in sub Nordic. Countries and
we can be in anything we want, yeah. You know, or whatever. I mean, so I don't know. That's one thing I may do that, which would be cool. And here I don't know if this will end up being too noisy or whatever, because there's like right outside the door or window on the outside is the AC unit, and then you got, of course, my this is on the ground floor, so my family's running around.
That's okay.
So. We'll try it. We'll see what happens. See if this looks okay. So this might look funky by the time I get done with the editing and stuff, but we'll see.
So this is our inaugural Memorial Day episode. Ready?
And this will also, one last thing, enable us to have enough space here where we could space out and someone else could be here with us.
Ooh, guests. We could have guests. Guests would be wonderful. All right.
And it's Memorial Day. Yeah, or Memorial Day tomorrow.
Well, isn't it like today but recognized tomorrow? Or do I have that mixed up?
I thought it was tomorrow.
Probably is. Yeah, the first time ever I don't have to work on Memorial Day. It's kind of exciting.
It's weird, huh?
It's kind of strange.
So, tomorrow is Memorial Day, I believe. So.
Right on. Well, I would like to take a moment on this Memorial Day to recognize all of the men and women who have not only served our country, lost their lives, to give props and respect to the family members of those people. There's no one on planet Earth that has more respect for our first responders, military, police, fire department than I do. It doesn't exist. I don't think there is enough that we do for those people that go out into the world and save our lives, defend our countries, and protect our freedoms. And I would just like to give them a shout out today and say thank you for being there to fight the battles that you fight, because if you didn't, my freedoms wouldn't be what they are.
There we go.
So, all right, Reggie. I think we have something to talk about. A young man named Harrison Butker.
Yeah, baby. So look, here's the thing. I really didn't care that much, to be fair here. I didn't, because it's just another thing you would expect in 2024, kind of the backlash and everything else. Okay. But when I saw these little clips, right, that's all you see, being just mutilated.
Yeah.
Everywhere. I thought, okay, now I'm curious. So, I found the Benedictine College,
yes,
actual commencement address.
Yes. And I watched it myself.
Right.
Yeah.
It's 20 minutes long. Really wasn't that big a deal. And I watched all of it, and I was, again, not unsurprisingly, I was astounded at the idiocy and the lack of, I would say, moral fiber that anyone would have to put that address into the way they did. And for all the people, I'll say this, I'll even speak it strongly. If you think Harrison Butker is bad, then you haven't heard this show, because we've very strongly stated the same things that Harrison Butker has stated.
In a much more aggressive
way. Much more aggressive way.
Yes.
And I, frankly, am unapologetic, and I don't care what you think about it. That's what we think. Yeah. And that's all there is to it. So Brian, let me ask you this. Here's the thing. Since you watched the commencement address,
mm-hmm,
what were some of the things that you caught from that would maybe be like a highlight for you, like that was either bad or good?
I really didn't see anything bad. Was the only thing I really thought was bad is, you know, bro, assert yourself. Don't, you know. He was unapologetic. I thought that was great. He said what was on his mind. And if you really boil down to it, all he really did was talk about what the majority of the young women in that place will probably wind up doing, which is getting married, having kids, starting a family. Like, here's where, you know, and my wife this morning made a great point. When my wife and I first started dating, I made the choice to tell her, we're not going to get married. I want you to finish your college degree. Don't quit halfway. Finish it. And then she did that. But she said, my whole goal the whole time I was getting my bachelor's was to get to the point where we could get married. She goes, and then once I got out, she goes, my concern was getting married and starting a family. Now, you were talking about my wife, who's a fiercely independent human being who loves her job and loves working for people and loves helping people. But she said, my identity rests in my family and being a wife and a mother. She goes, and it rests there securely. And now she has a master's degree. She went back and got a master's degree so that she could do more and do more things. But her number one priority every day is being a wife and mother. And what I really thought this whole thing was about was Harrison Butker basically talking wonderfully about, first of all, his wife, and secondly, addressing the majority of the people in the room. But again, a 1% minority has taken this and twisted it. I thought the commencement was good. I didn't think there was anything terribly off about it. I think he could have been, I mean, honestly, 5 minutes shorter.
Well, okay. So let me say this. The biggest thing, and what almost all of the fuss is about, is where he's speaking to the ladies in the audience. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
But there's quite a lot in there where he is, he doesn't come right out and give specifics, but he does say the gender ideology stuff. He's talking about how the pro-life stance and stuff like that from mm-hmm. the Catholic perspective.
He is.
Oh, and also too, I think this is really key to this. And they're not saying this any really in the legacy dinosaur lie to you media propaganda machine. They're not saying anything about this, but his audience was Catholic.
Yes.
Benedictine College is a Catholic. Yes.
And that was what shocked me the most was, you're getting upset about a Catholic speaking to Catholics. This is not a Catholic going to a liberal college. And, you know, it's not him going to Harvard. He went to Benedictine College, which was a Catholic university. And I think that's the thing that shocked me. But you know, you said something, Reggie, a few episodes ago, and I don't think I had seen it until this happened. I think this is a symptom of the outrage media and the outrage left running out of ammunition. So we're going to go onto the other team's field and try to steal something off their field. And look, I'm going to say it, and I'm going to apologize about this. I'm not a huge fan of the Catholic religion. I don't think that Catholics are bad people. I just think there's a lot of things that are within that religion that are just wrong. Like interceding. I don't need anyone to intercede in my relationship with God. That doesn't have any, I was given Christ for that purpose. I don't need anybody else. Right. So, but I think that this is a very, very bold road sign saying, hey guys, this outrage media, this outrage left, this Marxist dynamic is dying because they're reaching for things. Now, another great example kind of off the beaten path was, you know, Trump going to Brooklyn and
the Bronx,
and they thought, you know, 2,000 people would show up and 25,000 people showed up.
Well, look,
in the voting district of one of the most outraged liberal human beings on the planet.
Okay. There are a couple things that I disagreed with Harrison Butker. And when he says the Catholic Church is the one true church that Jesus Christ started, that is not accurate. So just to point that out, that is not accurate.
There's zero accuracy to that.
I mean, I know where they get, that's what the Catholic Church is taught, but that isn't historically true. It's the longest existing church, but that whole formation and stuff, it's not like the apostle Paul, when he wrote to Romans, it's not like that was the beginning of the Roman Catholic Church or anything. And
no, it was not.
So there's a lot more history to that. So I just want to put that was the only thing I thought was blatantly wrong. I did think when he was specifically talking about the like priests and bishops and stuff and their lack of leadership during the whole can't say it endemic thing. Was really interesting because he's at a Catholic institution and he's kind of pointing the finger saying, hey, you know, this is what you need to, you know, this is. So I thought that was interesting.
Well, but that's something else too. If you listen to what's been going on, I mean, I don't know if you were aware of this, the Pope and his whole gay marriage thing that went on. But it seems to me that even the Catholic churches, the staunch Catholics are trying to right the ship, right? Like this is not what we were taught, what we were taught to believe. This is not what is within our, and it's really exciting to see common sense kind of floating back across the river and people starting to pick up on it.
Yeah. I mean, so getting back to the ladies things, I think that's really the key thing here before, because there is a couple other points, but what you see in the media, it just counts this little thing. She even showed this little clip where he says, "Hey, congratulations for your accomplishment." Cause he says, "I want to speak to the ladies for a minute. You've been a victim of one of the biggest diabolical lies." And he says, "You know, you've worked hard for your achievements and that you should be proud of yourselves." We go, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." Some of you are looking for your careers and your promotions and all this stuff. And that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's looking forward to that. But a lot of you will look for your marriage and your children. The media twists all that, and that's all they show or they say, but they cut the part out after that where he gets extremely emotional. You can tell how much he adores and values his wife, yep, who's a homemaker.
Absolutely.
And he talks about her with like this reverence that is absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is purposeful. That is totally a propaganda machine working there.
Well, and that's the thing that I think that frustrates me the most is they obviously made a choice for the dynamic in their marriage. And it's working for them, and they're having a successful marriage. They have a successful home, a successful family. What would be your purpose of attacking something like that, in the sense of, he's not saying everybody's house runs like mine. He's just saying, hey, and he did. He got very emotional. You could tell that he really has this actual reverence and admiration for his wife and what she does to hold their family together. And I feel like, you know, I feel like the way they chopped that clip up, it's so intentional. And I've even seen it chopped up in like a 12-second.
Oh, I know.
Blurb.
And the thing is, like, you look at the NFL and how much like domestic violence has gone on in the NFL, mm-hmm, and like how much how many people have been arrested for this and that and all this kind of stuff. Yeah. And you're going to tell me that the one guy who's like talking about how much he loves his wife and how appreciative he is just because he uses homemaker and like says women can be that without saying they can't work or they can't do this. He actually said they can, and he's proud of them and blah, blah, blah. Just because he said that other thing that you're able to do as a homemaker, you're going to freaking blow that up? Yeah. Are you effing kidding me, dude?
I don't think they are kidding you, man.
No, it's ridiculous.
But I think this is also a backlash, because another movement that I think is really dying on the vine right now is feminism. I think feminism has, you can call it what you want, first, second, third wave feminism, doesn't matter. Feminism is struggling right now because I think what's happened, especially over these last 5 years, which is kind of what's causing this kind of salty reaction to Harrison Butker and what he said, was women really thought, a lot of these worldly women really thought that they could drive the world in the direction they wanted it to go, where they could be in charge. But the fact of the matter is, and this is not me knocking anybody, I won't ever do that as far as just a woman, and I have my belief, and I do believe, I know my belief is right, but when they have figured out that they can't change the tilt and rotation of the world to their favor. So you're seeing this, I feel like, a death of feminism. I feel like it's just dying on the vine, because I think the natural order is coming back. And what you're hearing is the last death rattles, the last urgent fight to try to maybe hang on to this kind of cockamamie dream that was feminism, which actually feminism is literally a very long, long tirade of all the things a woman can't do. And that's what shocks me is, if you're a feminist, the first thing you get is a list of 50 things you can't do. Well, I thought that was what feminism was supposed to be, was to free you to do whatever you wanted to do. So again, this kind of clashing of messages, but I mean, at the end of it, after watching the 20-minute commencement speech, you're right. There were some things that, but when I hear things like the things that we talked about that we disagreed with, I just kind of throw them off because, I mean, I don't really sweat those things a lot.
No, I mean, because
I'm more in tune to the fact that, number one, he called out his own religion. Like, he stepped up and was like, you're getting it wrong. Stop it. And two, it was a completely flattering, greatly painted picture of all of the things that a woman can be. You can have your career. You can have your success. You can have your promotions. But you can also be a homemaker, a wife, a mother. And none of it is bad.
No. And I mean, he does say, so going back to your point about and we've said this too, men are necessary. And he said, men set the tone of the culture. Be unapologetic about your masculinity, which we've said
yep.
on here a few times. And I think the other thing when he was talking about calling out the church, I mean, because he actually did that pretty well, and he wasn't like being blatant or like
mean
crass or mean. Yeah. It was just like, hey, you know, there's things we did that was wrong during this time period. And he spoke about how we can't, you know, he even said, you know, there were periods where the leadership didn't step up to fulfill their vocation. Like, and he gave the example, like there was a lot of people that died without having their sacraments. Right.
Yeah.
Which for the Catholic, it's huge.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was talking about how that should never been the need to something like that. Cause it's, you know, it's necessary. He even referred back to the historical periods of when there'd been other diseases and everything else that, you know, the leadership didn't shy away from that, but yet we let that happen in, you know, 2020. Right.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things about Catholicism I don't like a lot, but at the same token that it's not like they're the Christ following path and Catholicism doesn't have to be on like in a combative state either.
No,
there's a lot in common that should be in all this stuff. But he did say one thing that I'll point to. He pointed to Biden.
Yeah,
he said Biden proclaims to be a Catholic, yet he does the sign of the cross at a pro-abortion rally. So I thought that was that he's pinned that one directly on correctly.
Yeah.
And then he said being Catholic alone doesn't cut it, right? Because he was saying, stop pretending the Church of Nice is a winning proposition. Exactly. It's not where the church is not meant to be nice. It's really meant to call you to be more like Christ. So that was cool. I thought mentioning the film Silence was it. I never saw it because I knew it was I knew what it was, and I didn't really care to. And if you're not familiar with it, it is he mentions it in the commencement speech, but it's a stupid film where they pretty much portray it, the Catholic priest and going off and being alone and all. It's just I don't know. I haven't watched it. I just knew what it was about and I thought it was dumb. But it's a secular way of looking at how they want the, you know, what he says. It's actually how they want, you know, Catholicism to look like. All alone by yourself, isolated without influencing anything, which is not exactly, it's not any, he pretty much sums it up. He says that's not how it's meant to be. I mean,
wasn't built for that.
No,
no. So anyway,
I mean, yeah, I didn't, obviously the Latin mass stuff, I don't really care about because I'm not into that, nor do I think it's necessary, but I mean, he obviously does. I appreciate his devotion to the Catholic faith.
I think faith and the doctrine.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. And look, I mean, I just think it's appalling. And I think anybody who would look to the people who are trying to tear this dude down or say something against it have a much bigger problem than he does. Agreed. And I think it's shameful. And it's not like this is one of those like huge deals where I felt like we must talk about it to try to sway an opinion. It's not. It's just I just felt like there was enough in here that we already have said. He said a lot of things.
Yeah, he seemed to almost have backed up our views a little bit in the sense that, you know, we don't apologize for masculinity. We don't apologize for the roles that are we believe in, right? That are the proper roles. I just feel like,
yeah,
again, I feel like this is just we're at this point where we're in the death rattle of this hard leftist Marxist garbage that we've been watching, and they're fighting furiously to try to keep it alive, but they're just losing ground daily.
It's nonsense, dude. I mean, I think I saw this, and we can veer away into that Trump rally thing a little bit, because I thought it was fascinating that even some of the anti-Trump people who were going to the rally when they were interviewed were shocked. Because, of course, they're buying into this thing where they think that any Trump supporter is a racist, bigot, you know, all this stuff, and it's just nonsense, right? And so when you see somebody who's animately against Trump and they can't refute what they see, then it becomes a whole different reality, you know?
Well, I think that what you're seeing now is, and it's blatantly obvious in what I'm reading, is even the lunatic left that wanted Biden in office has seen what they've done and seen that it's not manageable, nor is it, you know, attainable to continue down this direction. And I think what you're seeing is a lot of voters who probably aren't conservative, but are probably not so stupid as to say, I want to vote for Biden again. So they're showing up at these Trump rallies because they want to hear something from him that would give them a reason to vote for him. That's the difference now. 4 years ago, they would have shown up to throw eggs at him. But now they're literally showing up because they want to hear something that they can use to justify voting for him.
I mean, look, again, I'm not a Trump fan.
Nah, neither am I.
But it's not one of those anyone but Biden scenarios, although it's close to that. But I don't, because here's the thing. I think we all figured out that he's just a puppet. There's no way that guy's a, you know, I don't care if, and I saw Bill Maher have a conniption fit over him not conceding the election still or whatever. And I mean, Hillary didn't either. So I don't really care about that, but, I still don't think the election was true.
I don't either.
I can't fathom how he would get more votes than Barack Obama.
Yeah.
There's not no even, way.
Yeah.
Okay. This is what I'm saying.
I was in no way a Barack Obama fan. But I expected it.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. He was, I mean, you can't take things away from Obama. Like, he was a very, very good speaker. He was very calm in pressure situations. You never saw him get rattled. Right. So there was a lot of things that he did surface wise that could give you confidence in who he was. And Biden has never been that, not as far as I, no. Even when he was the vice president under Barack Obama, I was not confident in his natures at all. Right. So, you know, and as far as this Trump derangement thing goes, I'm not a Trump fan. If it's Trump and Biden, will I vote for Trump? Yep. I'd rather have a Trump than a Biden. As many things as he does that I disagree with, and there are many things that he has said and done that I've been utterly thrown off by.
I mean, everybody always pins that whole thing. Well, you're electing a criminal. I mean, look, man.
Are we though? Here's the thing. All the things that he did were under the laws laid out by our federal government. The only people that think it's criminal are the people that can't use it for gain. So even the whole thing where, you know, the whole bank loan thing where they tried to say that he borrowed, he overblew his values of his properties. That is done every single day at every single bank by millions of business owners, personal finance people. I can tell you that I've heard values on my house that I know are ridiculous. But because they don't understand, or because it's not common knowledge, right? Like people don't sit around and discuss it. He's some kind of villain because he used a system that was put in place by the people that now want to use the system to hang him out to dry.
Well, okay, but that's the thing. Like this is why the populace has to be a little smarter here.
Yeah.
And that's what I that's what I've never understood. Like, you know, and that could be just from a, that just be my perspective, how I just can't see that the, see any different, but it's like, how do you not know? Right. I mean, like if you've lived in this country, you own a home or you're trying to get a home or you've looked at, I don't know. It just seems like it's just such a well-known thing. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm just shocked that people would just buy into all that nonsense. And I guess it comes from those people primarily who like listen to the mainstream media and that's all they listen to. And that's what they take as it's almost like the old people who are still hanging on to the days of Walter Cronkite and like, well, that's what you do. You come home, you put on the news and that's what you listen to. And that's what you believe. And you,
well, but that's blah, blah, blah. Also a time when they just reported the news. They didn't report. I mean, Walter Cronkite wasn't talking, didn't give opinion in op-eds. It was, this is the headlines. This is what we're talking about. You know, if you go back in the history, it was really Dan Rather that kind of started that whole creeping your opinion in.
Well, but they've always twisted headline wording and stuff to do something.
I think that's something for ratings, right? More than anything, right. It was for ratings.
I think when you have the big cabals like actually start buying up all the media outlets, that's when you started seeing a lot more of the stuff shift. And that's been decades.
Well,
many decades.
I think also when you began to see news as, I feel like news went away from being news and went to being entertainment. And examples would be the Bill Maher show. That's an example of news actually being turned to entertainment, not news.
It's not news though.
It's a show. He hides it under the guise of it being news. But the only news that he really talks about is the news with which he sees fit to talk about.
I'll give him credit. I mean, he isn't like as much of a shill though as like everybody else.
Well, he's not. I mean, and I've seen him go after a few people in his own party and, you know, he went after AOC, he went after Gavin Newsom. Like he took
sometimes. Yeah.
He's gone after him a little bit.
I think Bill Maher, I keep saying mayor. Why do I keep saying that? But Maher is one of the few people who I don't like detest, you know, like, but I still don't appreciate how he's, even though he's done this, like, and I'm not saying, look, here's the thing. I'm not saying like right wing is the way to go or anything. I just don't think it's left wing.
Well,
that's my opinion, right?
Here's my thing.
But
you have, I think every person is liberal thinking about certain things and conservative thinking about certain things, depending on the person, right?
Yeah.
So as far as I'm concerned, the two-party system is garbage.
Yeah.
Right? Like it's not a workable system. It's proven itself time and time again to not be a workable system. I think what we really need to do is start just talking about what the country needs, what the people need, and who can provide that in the best possible way. And I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat. I don't care if you're independent or libertarian or, you know, I just care that you are smart enough to understand the position we're in and have the wherewithal to act upon that position in a way that keeps America safe and keeps America working forward, right?
Yeah, let's just remember, though, historically, that it didn't start out being two parties.
Yeah, it didn't, no.
There was a lot of parties.
Yeah.
And slowly you saw these two predominant ones kind of
take over.
Pretty much eat the rest of them, you know? So there's that. All right. So the other thing, moving on, is this. I found this fascinating. And I think this kind of, illustrates kind of how I see the universe, and it's echoed from one of my heroes, Bill Shatner, right?
William Shatner.
So here, I'll read this quote that I got, and this, now keep in mind, I do want to preface this and say this is from the Star Trek, the original series and movies Facebook group. Okay. So
sorry, man.
I know. It popped up because I'm a nerd in my feed the other day, and but it caught my attention. So whether or not this is verifiable William Shatner or not, I couldn't find that necessarily, but if I do, between now and the time this video goes up, it'll be in the description to verify that. Here's what he said. Last year, I had a life-changing experience at 90 years old. I went to space after decades of playing an iconic science fiction character who was exploring the universe. I thought I would experience a deep connection with the immensity around us, a deep call for endless exploration. I was absolutely wrong. The strangest feeling that dominated everything else by far was the deepest grief that I had ever experienced. I understood in the clearest possible way that we were living in a tiny oasis of life surrounded by an immensity of death. I didn't see infinite possibilities of worlds to explore, of adventures to have, or living creatures to connect with. I saw the deepest darkness I could have ever imagined, contrasting so starkly with the welcoming warmth of our nurturing home planet. This was an immensely powerful awakening for me. It filled me with sadness. I realized that we had spent decades, if not centuries, being obsessed with looking away, with looking outside. I did my share in popularizing the idea that space was the final frontier, but I had to get to space to understand that Earth is and will stay our only home, and that we have been ravaging it relentlessly, making it uninhabitable. Now, the little last part about the uninhabitable thing, but listen, this kind of, I felt this in this way. When I look out at, and this is how the biblical standpoint says, looks at this too. When I look out in the sky and I see the space above, I don't see like, oh, this is the, so look at all the possibilities for exploration and all this. I really see the immense, unfathomably infinite God that created all of existence, right? And that's kind of what God says he created this whole massive universe was to like give some inclination as to the immensity of himself.
Okay.
So I never looked at like UFO phenomena and all that kind of stuff as being legitimate, because I'm looking at it going, no, there's other explanations for that, including spiritual ones, by the way, but we won't get into that right now. But the creation is so vast, so immense to reveal a creator. And he's like, well, yeah, when I got to space, I looked around, I was like, holy crap, this is like this tiny oasis that we have. That is our home. And it's like the realization that you're looking around at all of this stuff, and it's like there's this one blue ball of like of life that is there, that is to be cherished, and like that's it. And that's really, I thought that was key. Now the only thing that he's missing here is going, thank God that he created this little tiny ball of life in the middle of all of this immensity of death. But anyway.
Well, but wasn't it Shatner too that made the statement, that was what, so, you know, I kind of, this was something he said, and this has been a couple years ago, but he said the tantalization of science fiction is to make us believe that the deeper that we go into space, the more unexplored territory there is and the more adventure. I think it's almost poetic that he went up and realized that what was there was the massive void that surrounds what we are. Which goes back to something, you know, it even goes back to Einstein. Einstein had a theory that black holes were a manifestation of God, right? That God moved parallel along the lines of black holes, making casual changes to the universe, right? So,
well, it's sort of a theory.
Sort of a theory,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's not.
But then there's the have you ever heard of the heaven theory? October 12th, 2016, the heaven theory was released, and it said all black holes were made in heaven, accelerate all the particles and that are non-living to its current perception of time. Since it travels close to light speed, non-living particles decay into light, then into entropy, which would cause large black holes to pop up all over the universe, followed by relatively slow heat death. What they believe that this is God's manifestation of making changes in the universe. He pulls in the particles or the fabric that he wants to change, and by killing off that fabric and recreating new fabric. Now, I don't know that there's ever been a theory that anything living has come out of a black hole, right? But here's what I find very connective about that quote from Shatner that you just read. We have been led as Christians, all of our time as Christians, Reggie, we have been handed the Great Commission, and that's to go out and make believers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was always to go out into the world, which this is the world, right? Nowhere in the Bible does it say go beyond the world and make believers. And I think what you probably could describe Shatner's feeling is he probably felt that God-shaped hole. All right, I'm going to go up into space, and I'm going to be inspired and awe-inspired and all these things. No, what I've realized is I've left the mission, right? I'm looking at our little ball of life in the universe and realizing that by going here, I've left the mission. Now, whether he has any kind of spiritual connection to what that was, that's a whole different conversation. But I would dare say that that feeling, that you know, realization that he had while he was up there very well was a spiritual revelation of his place in the universe. Right. Cause don't we all realize that at one point, you know, God moves in past, present, future. So how do we fit into his larger plan? Which is why when people ask me that, I say, those are things that you don't need to consider because we can't think in that span. We're not capable of that kind of forethought, right? So stay on mission would be the advice I would give. But yeah, I thought I had only read a little blurb of it. You reading the whole quote, that really puts it into perspective. Like to go with all of this hope and all of this, you know, this excitement that you're going to go see something that's going to make you want to, you know, go explore this vastly empty universe that all this adventure lies ahead, but to realize that the only thing there is death. It's unlivable for a reason because we're not meant to live there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, of all the people, like you think Shatner spent so many times as Captain Kirk in the final frontier. Right.
Yeah.
And how many times he's promoted that. And you've said that many times, you know, he was really looking forward to space to actually, in the interviews I saw from a couple of things, he was looking at that as to like, you know, bolster that whole, you know, exploration, mm-hmm. and like he thought he was really going to be, you know, propelled into that want or whatever. But it was a holy crap. This is, you know, there's nothing here. You know, and I think, but I think that's really where it does pull back into your, you know, God is what's immense. You are not even on the radar. And then, you know, if you look at our what's, What I found early on when you're talking about thinking about the universe and how big it is, and you look at the stars and they have like the measurements of how big the stars are and how, you know, even our single star, like is not even a pinprick in like the largest star that we've been able to find. Mm-hmm. Like Earth, you can't even measure it in comparison if you're looking at them, right? And so then you have like galaxies and solar systems and nebulas that are just freaking, I mean, it's unimaginably that we can't even comprehend something that big. The only reason why we can see it is we're like, you know, so many light years away that we've, that we're able to see it all. And we're just seeing it from so far back. It's like, it's, you know, the size of that is just incredible. So the reality is that we are so insignificantly tiny into the whole picture of existence. And to know that the reason that is that way is to reveal the, to reveal the creator. That's just amazing. And he does that. It's on purpose.
Well, but here's the thing that I would tell people too, from the minuscule to the massive, it's all on purpose, right? It's all part of the plan. And I really hope that people understand, you know, I'm a big science guy. I like to read science journals. I like to listen to what people discover. But here's the facts. We live in a world that revolves on its own, no strings attached. We have a sun and a moon. And we spin on an axis that's invisible. There are miracles happening every day, right? And they're completely seeable miracles, right? Like the sun drops, the sun comes up, the earth is rotating, the moon. I mean, all these things are miracles. And we so desperately want to step away from just giving over power and saying, God, you're awesome and you're going to take care of this, that we begin to create theories, not facts, theories of the theory of relativity, you know, physics. All these things are not provable.
Physics
to a degree is, but I'm talking about like, you know, the Big Bang theory.
No, I know what you mean.
All these things, yeah. Right?
I mean, the law of thermodynamics, the, you know, the law of gravity, all that stuff, yeah, is known constants that we've established. But
yeah,
here's the thing though, that's important, is big and is, see, if everything was based on nature, then we have no significance whatsoever inside the whole universe. We are so imperceptibly small that we don't matter at all. Yeah. Nothing, nothing, not even our planet.
Yeah.
Like we don't measure on the stick at all, like at all. So as far as nature goes, there's no purpose. Like
I don't think people realize how absolutely astonishing it is that a God of the universe chronicled a book like the Bible, which was basically in his mind. Let's be honest. In his mind, those were insignificant, non-cataclysmic events that he had laid out whenever in the previous times he was there. I think that, and that was the hardest thing for me before I gave myself over to it, was perceptively, I'm such a tiny speck. Why would I matter? Right. What does what I do matter in the long and the short of things? Right. And I think that's the kind of the burning question, right? Like, is, you know, if we are not finite, if we are a speck in the timeline, think about the entirety of God. We are a nanosecond.
If not even that.
If that.
Like 1/1,000,000th of it, you know.
Where is our importance in that timeline? My opinion personally is that isn't the concern. The concern for us is to thank God for the life that we have. Thank God for the gifts we've been given. Connect to him in the best way we know how and tell others about what I call it, the freedom of faith, right? Like, I am the most imperfect human being you'll ever run into. I make mistakes every day. I screw up. I say stupid stuff. I do stupid things. Yet this creator, who I am finite in his timeline at best, infinite timeline is what he has, and I am not infinite at all. I am a speck, has chosen to give me peace, give me rest, and give me something to put my faith in so that I can be free enough to be who I am and live the life he built me to live, right? Like that's the real struggle. Like and we don't have to go into this, but you and I had been tossing stuff back and forth and I went into relativism. And the only reason that's important to me is, and we'll get into that in another episode, the definitions and all the things that we can pour into relativism. But for me, it's another way of using relativism as another way to avoid the conversation of God, right? I feel like, you know, well, truth is relative. Well, that's kind of a broad statement that you really can't get to, you know, or I'm living my truth, you know, relative to me. No, there's one truth and there's one way and there's one life to live.
Well, okay. Relativism will tell you that you give your own self importance.
Yes.
Your own path is where you should focus on whatever you deem it to be.
Yeah.
You could broaden that out to go to how society defined what is where you should belong. You could flower that out to be like, well, it's relative to what my family is doing. It's relative to what culture is doing. You can do that from many different points. And this is kind of why I was asking the question, because this relativism itself has lots of different branches and uses. I mean, if you're talking about theological terms that, or philosophical terms, you would for us would be like C.S. Lewis would be the predominantly, you know, source for moral relativism and how that is contrary to what the biblical narrative says. But I want to get back to this though. Real quick. And it's so because this is important for like new Christians or even those who are like on the fence about doubting things and the whatever. You got to understand that looking at the entirety of the universe, that's billions of light years which itself is incomprehensible, a kind of thing. And then you look at, the life cycle of suns and planets and all these kind of things, you know, when let's say tomorrow, an asteroid of substantial size hits the Earth, knocks it completely. And we're gone. Mm-hmm. The universe as a whole will not care. It will not, there's nothing that triggers the importance of our existence anywhere in the universe that says, oh, there's this little blue planet it doesn't matter. Like it's done. We are so inconsequential to the fabric of the universe that there is no substantiating facts there that would say like nothing matters there. If you're going by strictly nature, right? So, and especially in comparative to other bodies, other solar systems, other galaxies, I mean, like, look, it doesn't matter. I mean, the whole freaking solar system would blow up and it's such an insignificant portion of the universe. It would not matter. Okay. So this is why a lot of the secular philosophers of the 20th century and onward kind of concluded that there was no reason life is meaningless, because it was like, if everything's going to die off anyway, then I mean, what are you doing? I mean, there's no point in it, because everything eventually dies in heat death and it's just done. Right.
Yeah.
That should bother anybody. I mean, that should bother, like you can't, if you're living in that particular perspective, there's no reason.
Yeah, what's the point?
There's no substance. There's nothing. What God does is he comes in and says, I have a reason for creating this immense universe. It's to reveal me without having without having the scriptures in front of you or knowing how to read. I created this massive universe so that you would see that there's something of a creator, that it's all designed, it all works, it all does stuff. Without this creator, that would not happen. I've made you so like insignificant in comparison to the rest of the universe that you would seem like that you would think you were insignificant, but I have put value on you. I, the creator, have raised you up as I've built you in the image of myself. I've taken you and molded you to be important. Mm-hmm. So that even when you are rebelling, even when you're trying to be a usurper and take away all my authority for yourself, I've come down in flesh form to fulfill what you couldn't, so that I could substitute myself for you. Now that makes way more logical sense than somebody saying it's all for nothing. There's no reason for anything. There's
no substance. It was there.
I mean, look, and I'm not going to argue, like, we can get into like the different creation stories later, but I'm just saying that doesn't really matter for this purpose. What matters is that to know that people, you are valued, what you do matters, but it doesn't matter to the world. It matters to God.
Yeah.
Your significance doesn't rely on what other people think, what titles you wear, how many people see you, what your followers are on Instagram. Like that is what insignificant. What's significant is what God thinks of you and what you're doing for his kingdom.
Yeah. Agreed. I dig it.
So, I mean, but that's so vital. Cause I mean, like if you're a second, like, okay, here's the thing. Before I was like a real big Jesus freak, this is the stuff I would contemplate. Like, it's like, you know, I follow quantum mechanics and all the some astrophysics and all this stuff because I thought that was really cool. And like, they were making all these things and, oh, look, there's a quirk and it vanishes, does all this. And I mean, it was fascinating, but at the end of the day, there was nothing that in science that was even ever going to be discovered that would lead to a significance that I had past the scope of the life of the little blue planet we have. Like, it just didn't matter.
Do you think that people chase that to fill themselves with personal significance because they feel so small in the universe?
I think that people chase after, because I think a lot of people look for legacies and a lot of people do this, but even the most famous person on the planet will have no significance in the end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's they do, because they think like, well, even when I die, at least they'll remember me. Well, eventually, no. You'll be forgotten.
Eventually, there'll be enough generations past where nobody will know.
I mean, the only reason why we go, if you look back into the early, the only things we have are like stone carvings of that kind of stuff. You think all this digital stuff we have now is going to survive for another 10,000 years?
Well, it's also,
no.
You know, it's like the transgender argument of, you know, well, it doesn't matter what surgeries you have. It doesn't matter all those things. If someone digs you up in 1,000 years, the only thing they're going to know is that you are a female or a male. They're not going to know that you wanted to be something different. They're not going to know. There's not going to be some kind of natural progression where you're going to morph into something. But I kind of feel like, I feel like a lot of the chasing of these, I'll call them distractions because it's really all I can call them, right? They don't really carry any significance. They're just distractions. The chasing of these distractions is done to fill the place in them that feels insignificant.
Well, yeah, when you are misled on your identity of who you are, and mm-hmm. you've covered that up with your work you're trying to do, or your whatever the case may be. If you're obsessed with that as fulfilling who you are, then yeah, you're missing it. You're missing the whole picture, because your whole identity is wrapped up in something that isn't who you are.
Yeah,
it's not bound around that. You know, it's crazy. Yeah. Which we talked about that extensively.
Yeah.
All right. So the other, moving on. Did you see, and this isn't anything we need to spend a whole lot of time on, but there was a Fresh and Fit conference, I think is what it was. And they had a bunch of these guys up in this panel giving a talk.
Okay.
And there was this one dude who looked like he spends all of his time in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, he was like, you're not a man unless you're, you know, pretty much a fit freak and got money in the bank. And I mean, he was like, it was like all these materialistic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to look like he does, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there was one guy who was a Christian on the council. He said, no, I don't have to be. And it got in this heated argument. And this guy was like, stood up and was like being a, he was a real jerk.
Yeah.
And I've seen this. So I didn't watch most of it because I really don't care that much about, like, because it was dumb. I thought this, because I've seen meatheads like this before. Dealt with them many times because I was in gyms for a while. But when you said identity, it made me think of this because that there's a guy who's got his identity so wrapped up in the materialistic stuff that he doesn't have anything tangible at all. He just sees dollar signs and muscles.
As someone coming from the fitness industry, and someone who still dabbles in it and still loves to go to the gym, there is a certain section of, we'll call them influencers because that's really the most relative term, that truly believe that if they say something enough times, it'll be true, and they abandon the actual facts of the situation. And there's a lot of those guys and girls. I worked with one who truly thought that her way was the only way, and that, you know, she would make very lewd and unkind comments about people in the gym, and you know, she liked to call them fatties and blah, 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 and all those things. And I believe that those are the people that are drinking their own Kool-Aid, right? Like, they're Jim Jones in themselves. Like, it's, look, man, the one thing I learned in all the time I spent working with people, and I loved all my clients, still love them to this day, stay in contact with some of them, they're great people. Is it's different for everybody, and everybody's going to get something different from it. And the moment you start to believe that your way is the only way, you have lost. From the beginning, you've lost. Because it's just like anything else. If you have a formula, an applied formula, and you apply it to someone who doesn't meet the criteria for the formula, it's going to be a failure. And fitness should be more about mental health. You want to feel good, right? You want to physically feel better, but it should be more about mental health and taking care of yourself and feeling good and being able to function better. It can't be everything though, right? You can't
define manhood around boundaries.
Oh yeah, that's such garbage.
Money
that's
and what garbage. If you can lift up your shirt at the beach?
Let's be clear. I know and still know many men who do not fit the definable definition of fitness that are complete and utter badasses. That don't need to have six pack abs to get their point across, and don't need this whole thing of, you know, I call it the Goggins theory, because Goggins, although I like Goggins, Goggins is hardcore. So
Goggins, very hardcore, dude.
Very hardcore. I love his effort and his drive, but sometimes the things that he says, you don't know a person until you know a person. So the first thing you want to get to do when you're in fitness is get to know yourself. Get to know what you want and what you want to be capable of. Not everybody wants to be Arnold Schwarzenegger. Some people just want to feel better, right? And that's their pinnacle, right? Like I had people that I worked with that literally, I just want to move some. I just want to get some movement. I want to get a little stronger. I want to feel better about myself. Okay, that's perfectly okay. If that's what I can help you do, that's fine. But this whole world of, well, if you don't have a six pack and 20 inch biceps, you're a waste. That dude needs to shut up,
dude.
And if he was here, I would tell him to shut up.
I mean, it was just, he was so angry. And I was like, and this guy, like, I felt really sorry for him, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he was really hot. And I'm like, okay, he might have taken a little too much, you know, Andro, that
testosterone.
Yeah, it might be a little bit on that, or even some other stuff. But it might, like, if you are obsessed with money, wealth, acquisitions, your body, then you really have some self-security issues. You really need to work out. Like, you didn't, because any of those things can be taken away in an instant. Yeah. It's done. So, I mean, especially the fitness thing. All you need is one significant injury in the wrong part of your body. You're done.
Another great example of that, and I'm another person that I'm not necessarily a fan of, but what happened to Andrew Tate? Wealthy, money, and all of a sudden wound up in a Romanian prison on a trumped up charge that they actually found out was not valid. But that's an example of, hey, I focused on being wealthy, healthy, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to be a dominator. I'm going to take over. And then all of a sudden you're sitting in a Romanian jail looking down the barrel of a very long sentence if things don't work out for you. That's how quickly the trigger can be pulled on you and things can be snatched out from underneath you.
I mean, like, there's a purpose to your body as a temple. I mean, like understanding that you're a vessel for the Most High God. Right, from a Christian perspective, mm-hmm. But we're all shaped, and genetics play a huge part in everything we do. Mm-hmm. There's people who genetically would never be able to attain that significant of a body change, mm-hmm. and I would say this, I guess everybody has the potential to get there, but the scope of what it would take to do so is beyond what anybody would do or be able to do, or even a Groggins. Like if he was putting in, like that same attitude wouldn't function in like, well, even like if it was in my body, for instance, you know, that might not work. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how hard you want to work.
Yeah.
Sometimes your genetics dictate what's going to be okay, what's not.
Well, and I think also too, when and where you start. I think the later on you wait in life to start, the less, you know,
well, it takes more money, more time,
more effort, more energy.
I mean, all that stuff. Like you can do that. If a 55-year-old dude says, well, you know what? I'm going to get ripped. I'm going to put all my time and energy into getting ripped. Yeah, you can. But Lord, that's a tough road.
Yeah, it's a tough road to hoe. I can tell you as somebody who just turned 49 years old, I'm a pretty strong guy for my age. And it takes a ton of work to get strong like that and to stay strong and to stay in the game. And, you know, I enjoy working out. I do. Like I've had spiritual moments during workouts where I've broken my body down and, you know, you go into that kind of mind space of, you know, you're asking for recovery, you know, and, but I'm past that point of wanting to be a six-pack athlete. Right. Like I want to feel good. I want to be able to run with my boys. I want to be able to do what I need to do.
Well, that's it, dude. You know? I mean, look, I'm not saying I'm a beacon of freaking manly health or anything. I'm not saying that. I've put on way too much weight from all the years of travel and everything else I was doing. I mean, you know, full honesty, open. Yeah, I get it, you know, but that doesn't, you know, I view that as a, in the negative. But can I go do things with my girls? Yes.
Yeah.
Can I get out there and lift a tree stump above my head and if I need to? Yeah. And as a matter of fact, the other day when I was cleaning up a tree I cut down, I mean, I did so much. I came inside. It was like that. You know, those moments where you've done, your body says, nope. Yeah. And just like you have trouble.
Had a few of those.
I was walking up the stairs and my whole body said, no, we ain't doing this. And like, I almost fell down the dang upstairs because my freaking legs were just like, nope, you've done enough today. Right.
Yeah.
And that's all. I love that. Actually, I love that feeling. Right. But it's like, then, you know, you physically push yourself farther. But the point being though, is like, my primary goal is being more like Christ. That everything else is way second than that, right?
Yeah.
So how am I more the Christ-like husband? How am I Christ-like dad? How am I Christ-like friend? How am I Christ-like son? All those things. That's the priorities that I have. Yeah. Like my physical appearance is really, it doesn't matter to me at all, but I mean, my health matters in the way that helps me function towards that goal.
Well, I'll say this too. And I say this because I believe it. I believe that the better my health is, the stronger I am, the more the more physical ability I have, the better I can carry out the things I need to carry
exactly.
out. Exactly. And for me, you know, to be, you know, right now I'm sitting at right around, I'd say probably about 235, 238, somewhere in there. I'm less likely to go kill myself, maintain, stay strong. But I mean, also too, you know, I believe that God creates different types of people for different reasons too. Like, I think you and I are more the warrior vein, right?
Like, dude, if somebody, look, I don't want to hurt nobody, but I'm saying I'm it's not like I'm incapable of defending myself or my family.
But I think what I'm saying is that you and I are more in the warrior vein. Like, we're going to take up the sword and the shield when we need to. I think God creates, you know, intelligent people who are able to think deeply, you know, and I think God creates emotionally intelligent people who are able to feel deeply. I just think that there's different things that we see within ourselves. But these people that come out and they're like, you must do this and you must do that. No, I don't got to do anything other than.
But that's the thing. Like, there's some people that don't like that. It's such a failed, arrogant nonsense, dude. It really makes me mad that's a thought process somebody has.
They are their own God, man.
I know. But it's like, you can't, you're going to tell me that some poor, like an orphan or something gets tossed around through foster homes, comes out trying to do the best they can, is, you know, barely able to make it, couldn't pay for college, so they're doing all things, scraping by and everything else, and you're going to tell me that dude's less of a man because he doesn't have money in his pocket? You know, he's skinny because
that's
he doesn't.
That's how he gets attention, man.
I know.
That's attention seeking.
But that, yeah, in that whole panel, that dude, was like, was nodding their head to this guy and this one guy. I mean, it was like all of them should be ashamed of themselves. All of them. Well, I mean, it's just unacceptable. Have you ever seen
the Jubilee stuff on the Jubilee interviews that where they put like two different sides against each other? They'll have like Christians versus Christians versus Satanists and things like that. And they'll have a panel and they'll have breakouts. They'll ask a question. And they'll have agreeers and disagreeers. Well, they had one on fitness and non-fitness people that I listened to. And I was as someone who was in the fitness industry, I was ashamed of the people that I listened to on there. Because there was one guy who goes, if you're overweight, you're a disgusting example of being lazy, fat, and no good. And I was like, you don't know that person's story. You don't know
they have disease,
the dude. Trauma that they've been through.
They've been hurt.
You don't know anything about them. So for you to make such a, and I'm going to say what it is, for you to make such a blatantly stupid statement, it just makes you look stupid to say stuff like that. Like, it really does. Like the guy on that panel, I'm going to go back and watch this now because I want to watch this.
You get mad. I'm sure
I will. But that's a blatantly stupid thing to say. That's a blatantly stupid and attention seeking thing to say. So if you don't have anything better to say, shut up.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, let me tell you something, man. The best results I ever had with any clients were the clients that I got to know first and got to understand. I heard their stories. I heard the divorces that caused problems. I heard the abusive moms and dads. I heard the, you know, children that had passed away and they were struggling. And I heard those stories. And I used forms of motivation that would help them within their story. And never was I prouder of those people than what they accomplished. That guy is a utter moron.
Yeah. Like, I mean,
he doesn't deserve the attention he has.
It was really infuriating. It was, and you know, look, like I said, it was more like infuriating that he had this idea, but more like if he's this adamant about that, then I feel really bad for him. Like this is really shallow. Like, how is this, if he feels this way, then how's his marriage? How's he being a dad? Cause I mean, obviously the only things that matter to him are money and women and, you know, six pack. So I mean, how's he really being a dad?
Like attracts like, man. So he probably has a very self-centered, very money hungry partner. Right.
I mean, like, what? How's he? What's he giving back to the community? Like, is he going to volunteer stuff, or is it he can't because he's got to go to the gym to keep up his six pack?
Yeah, he's got to go to the gym. He's got to.
You know what I mean?
Got to make that money.
You know, so. it was really bad, dude. And I just want to say that we talk about manhood here. We are a man centric podcast YouTube show for a reason, because we saw the masculinity being attacked. We thought, you know what, there needs to be a more of a Christian voice out there for that. And I'll just say that is not the attitude of a Christian man. I think taking care of yourself is very important, but it's not like I think it, or, but definitely not money. Money and wealth and acquisitions and stuff have no bearing on anything. Matter of fact, the more you give away, the better off you are. Anyway, that's all we have for you all today.
Today.
Happy birthday to Mr. Brian over here.
Thank you, sir.
49.
Yep.
I got another year before I'm 50. Sweet. And yeah, man, it's been good. And happy Memorial Day.
Yes, happy Memorial Day. Again, thank you to all you first responders.
Indeed.
Military, all those people out there that are keeping us safe and protecting us every day. Be sure to like.
Subscribe.
But more than that, there's this oval button. It's black, and there's a white word, and it says subscribe.
It could be different colors.
Could be.
Or you could be colorblind. Could be non-colored.
Could be. True. Just click it anyway.
Okay.
Wherever you see the word subscribe, click, 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 click. Click, 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 click.
And apparently we need to react to more of the Pablo Pluma stuff that continually gets comments all the time. Listen to this.
I know.
So we'll have to do that soon.
Yeah, we'll have to do that soon. But, you know, and if you got any suggestions for anything you want to hear from us, when you subscribe and comment, put it in the comments, man.
Well, we're on B-Talks.
See you later.
Bye-bye.